Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are here to do something wonderful with your life? Do you feel that call deep inside you to bring your sacred healing gifts and transformational knowledge to the world around you? Do you want to feel inspired as you build your business doing your beautiful work? Do you want to learn how to build a successful spiritual business? Well then, you're invited to listen in to the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show, where we explore how fun and easy it can be to build a strong, abundant business while at the same time staying deeply connected to the divine using your intuition, your own sixth sense. Join the irreverent Reverend Ann Presswell as she and her guests explore the many ways you can build a deeply connected, authentic, powerful spiritual business making money without feeling like you've sold your soul. You are here to get your gifts out to the world in a powerful, abundant way, and your people are waiting for you. Let's help them find you. Now, here's your host, Reverend Ann Presswell.
Well, hello, 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 everyone. This is Reverend Ann Presswell of Divinely Intuitive Business. I want to welcome you to today's Divinely Intuitive Business radio show. We have a special guest with us today, Donna Dolly. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about joy and the joy-charged life, like how do you create a joy-charged life, which I, of course, will go into, applying those charges, the joy charges that she's going to share with us today into your business as well. Because if you don't have a joy charged business, you're not going to have a joy charged life, is my opinion, especially for those of us spiritual entrepreneurs who are really, you know, creating our businesses so that we can get our work out into the world. So before we just get started, I want to just have us all take a nice deep breath in and release. And create an intention for today's show, for what you want to create out of it. How do you want to apply more of this beautiful information into your own life and your own business? And so we say thank you for this opportunity to be here together, all of us together of like mind, coming here to learn more about how we can apply our divine birthright of joy into our lives and into our business. And so we say thank you, and so it is. So before I welcome Donna and introduce her, I'd love to say hello to my wonderful producer, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, how are you?
Hello, hello. I'm so happy to be here, as always. My favorite moment of the week. That makes my life sound really sad, but I do love the show. Okay, so I have a special request. I'm going to put you in a corner now, Reverend Anne.
Yeah.
When we do the blessing and you talk, the last few times it's come up of think about how you want to integrate this knowledge into your business, and I would like you to start drawing one of your angel cards for us.
Ooh,
if I may make that special request, because I know you have got a fabulous set of angel cards.
Well, let me do that right now.
Business related. And that is just so fun. And obviously, something really brilliant is going to come out of that as well. So that's
all right,
my little.
That. Hang on. Just give me a minute to just
pull
one out here. Okay, today's angel card is the sought-after speaker card, and it is. She's a beautiful angel. She is very much standing in her power as her angelic energy all around. The colors are teal and purple, and the affirmation is, my speeches are interesting. That's important, isn't it? Your speeches be interesting.
Yeah.
I am in demand and well-liked. I love to speak. And so this angel card is really about owning your power and being able to speak your truth in the world. Now, if you were taking that and being a speaker, as probably Donna is, you want, and most authors are, right? So you want to just own that that knowledge and that awareness and your ability to communicate and connect with the world around you with your speech, with your throat chakra. Just own your power in that. So that's our, I love that. That's such a brilliant idea. Thank you. Thank you for
that.
Yeah.
That was a very appropriate card as well. Thank you, Angel.
How perfect is it, right? Yeah. Love it. Okay, so, and you're back in Spain now, right?
Yes.
You know, like, are you in the UK or in Spain?
I know, it makes no difference because we're completely connected. Apart from when we sleep.
Isn't it, of an international business? And that is the joy of what we are able to do today, these days, you know, that we couldn't do 10 years ago. I think it's just amazing. Yeah. I absolutely love it.
And I just written down something else that I wanted to add. You said our divine birthright of having joy. That was so beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
And now I'll let you get on with the show.
Okay. Well, this is the show. I mean, come on, you know? That's as important as everything else. Okay. So let me introduce Donna to us. Donna and I met, I think, a year and a half ago. Donna's been a part of the Divine Business Club for a while, and she has created this incredible book called The Joy-Charged Life, 52 Simple and Practical Ways to Create Joy in Your Daily Life. And frankly, we need it. You know, joy is only in the present moment, only here right now. It's not like tomorrow. It's where we are right now. And so we have to be conscious of what we do in each moment so that we can experience our highest and greatest life. And I love this. What actually happened for Donna, and I can't wait to hear this juicy story, frankly, is that during the most difficult time in her life, she authored this book. So this is where, to me, when you are on your knees, you become open to some of the most powerful, transformative energy available. You become open to those divine downloads in ways that you are not in any other way. And I think about, and Donna, hang on one second, but I think about Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, right? And in her moment of, oh my God, what am I doing? And this is not the life I wanted. And she's on the bathroom floor just sobbing. And she gets the directive, go to bed, right? She gets this next step directive, go to bed. And in that moment, she just changed, everything changes for her. She has this huge moment of awareness, which led to this incredible book and incredible journey that she went on, and her, you know, major motion picture and famousness and all of that sort of stuff. But it was like she was only given one step, go to bed, you know. And it's, I think that oftentimes we are given that information just, you know, during difficult times, but it is those difficult times that create the incredible possibility that comes up next for us. I mean, I know that was true in my case. All right, so let me introduce author and professional mentor Donna Stapleton-Dawley, who has written this incredible book, and I can't wait to hear all about it. She's going to be covering how we can incorporate more joy into our life. Donna, welcome.
Hi, Anne. It's great to be here. I'm really excited to talk to you again. I always enjoy talking to you. You're so much fun and so uplifting.
Aw, thank you. I do have fun. I laugh a lot at myself, and I laugh at, you know, our human experience because I think it's actually very funny. So anyway, tell me, okay, so I want to hear, tell me briefly, like, or maybe not so briefly, like, what happened for you that caused you to write this book?
Well, it's actually a several-year journey, but I retired from my corporate career in 2008, and, you know, it was, the economy was not so good, so they were giving these wonderful retirement packages to us so we could retire early and have a salary for a few years, right? I mean, what could be better? So 2 weeks after I signed my papers in December of 2008 saying I was going to retire, I had a routine mammogram, and it was cancer. And so that started a journey that was totally unplanned, obviously. I had almost no risk factors for breast cancer at all, and nobody, no history or anything like that in my family with anybody ever having it. So instead of doing what I had planned to do after I retired, which was take a couple of months off and then go find some sort of different job, I ended up having several surgeries. And I got better, and I was starting to pursue a new career. And I had my six-month checkup, my six-month mammogram after the cancer, and I had more cancer. So instead of pursuing the new career, I ended up back in the hospital having a bilateral mastectomy. And, you know, the cancer in itself was not that scary in that respect because it was very contained. It was surgically removed. I didn't have to have the chemo or anything like that. But during the mastectomy, I got a staph infection. And over the next 5 months, they tried to figure out exactly what this staph infection was because apparently there's all kinds of little bugs like this. And until they pinpoint the exact one, they're just throwing antibiotics at it and it's not really doing any good. So I ended up back in the hospital about once a month in the emergency room having emergency surgery because the infection had gotten to a critical point until they found the whole thing. And then once they identified the staph infection, they were able to treat it, and that took about a month of walking around with an IV in my arm. And after that, then I had to wait several months before I could complete the reconstruction process because they had done the reconstruction of my breast when I was having the mastectomy, and then they had to remove it all because of the staph infection, and then we had to put it all back in. So over 2 years, I had 15 surgeries. And when you're doing something like that in your life, you're not doing a whole lot because you're constantly recovering from a surgery.
In this moment, my mouth is on the floor. I didn't know this about your journey, Donna. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I am.
Most people don't.
Right, yeah. And aside from, okay, cancer once, okay, cancer twice, all right, let's take them both off, you know, like let's remove the breast. And then on top of that, the staph infection and the surgeries, I mean, like, and then you come out and you go, yeah, let's have a joy charge of life. Yeah, baby.
Well, like, no, I'm not done yet.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Like, really? Like, talk about, holy crap. Wow. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
While
all of this was going on, people kept telling me how good I looked because, you know, I would go someplace and meet with friends and they would go, oh my gosh, you look great. You know, they really expected me to look like I was the Walking Dead. And in some respects, that's not surprising, right?
Yeah.
So I finally got through all of these surgeries, got the cancer taken care of, got the reconstruction done, and I was feeling good. And I was getting ready to go to a convention. I was in the shower. I slipped and I fell in the shower, and I fractured a vertebrae. And so back in the emergency room and a visit with an orthopedic surgeon, and he said, you're fine. You don't need surgery. But he says, you have to go home and sit down for the next 6 weeks. No walking, no dancing, no running, no nothing.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow.
So that is really when the book came out because I had been getting this sort of divine guidance for a long time that I needed to write a book. And I actually already had a publishing contract, but I didn't know what to write. I had so many ideas, and none of them seemed quite right. And when this final thing happened, you know, it was like, if you don't do what you're being asked to do, eventually you get hit with the 2x4, and I got hit with the 2x4.
I think that's really true.
That is.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and this
the
is
divine
like,
initiation, you know. You've been divinely initiated. Oh my
God. So, you know, the question of how did you survive all of this really came up a lot, and that's what I ended up sitting down and writing was how to go through something like what was happening to me and still be happy every day and still feel good about life and still really want to wake up in the morning and do something with your life. Because, you know, you have a choice when you get into a situation like that. You can either let it defeat you or you can rise above it. And so I chose rising above it. And I chose not to sit in front of the television and watch The Real Housewives of Bombay or whatever, you know, for that 6 weeks, and I wrote a book instead.
I love that. I love that. I love that. Because it would be very tempting to just sit in front of the television and watch TV, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so talk to me about what the joy charges are.
What the joy charges are they're just very simple and practical things that you can do, and they're designed, each one of them, to put you in the present moment, because happiness only exists in the present moment. It doesn't really exist in the future, even though we have a tendency to say, oh, when this happens, I'll be happy, or when that happens, I'll be happy. And that's not the way it works. You're either happy now or you'll never be happy. So they're very much designed to focus on the moment. They're designed to take very little, if any, money and very little time for the most part. Because when I wrote this, I wrote it from the perspective of someone who had been through so much physically that I didn't have the energy or the even physical ability at sometimes to go do some things like people normally tell you to do to boost your mood. Like I couldn't go take a walk in the park. You know, I couldn't go do a lot of these things. And people always say, well, go get a massage. Well, that's $100, you know. How practical is that for everyone every time you feel bad? So they're very different. They're things like going to the dollar store, buying yourself a coloring book and the biggest box of crayons that you can find, and sitting down for 30 minutes every day and just coloring. How fun is that? And how long has it been since you've done it?
I can't remember the last time, but I have to tell you that looking at a box of coloring crayons, you know, brand new box, remember that? How it felt to open it up and you'd see all these different colors and it was like this rainbow,
yeah.
Right? I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, when I was little, my parents couldn't afford the big box with the sharpener on the back, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I always had like the little color, like 16.
Yeah.
Now I can go to the store and get the big box that has a sharpener on the back. And I'm really happy about that.
It does make you happy, doesn't it? It's like, oh, I love it. I love that. Yeah. Well, give us some more. I love this. These are great ideas.
Yeah, and so they're things that you can do, and it's designed for you to do one a week. But obviously, you could do it every day, or you can do, if you really resonate with something, you can do it all the time, you know, instead of moving on to one. Whatever makes you happy. One of them is complimenting the people in your life that serve you. When you are out,
love that. Love that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're out, for example, I go to a lot of conferences and you go into the hotel and a lot of times there's a woman who's in there cleaning the restrooms, right?
Right.
If you just tell her what a good job she's doing, She never hears that.
Yeah.
It makes her day. You know, and it, because you're able to do something nice for somebody, it actually lifts your mood and makes you more happy and joyous.
I want to tell a little story about someone who made such an impression on me, and I never met her, okay? So I was friends with this woman who had MS when my daughter was little, and she was one of our neighbors, and she had two teenage boys, or preteen boys. One was 12, and I think one was 10. And her boys were, you know, really nice kids, just really super nice kids. And for Christmas, one of her friends gave her sons this little she had gone and gotten, and this is very inexpensive and very beautiful. It just made such an impression. She had gone and gotten these little 3x5 note cards, right? And she punched a hole in one of the corners, and she got one of those little rings and put the ring, you know, to hold them together. And then on each of the cards, on each of the cards, and I don't know, maybe she gave 50 cards or something like that for each boy. But she was saying, "You are so wonderful because," and told him why he was wonderful. And this, my friend, her name was Emmy, she said to me that her boys loved that more than any of their other gifts that they got at Christmas that year. They carried them around with them. They would look at them. They would sleep with them because it helped them see themselves through different eyes. It helped them see themselves as, you know, really, really smart or really fun or really, you know, capable of doing whatever. I mean, I don't remember. I didn't read them, so, because that was, you know, it was theirs. But I remember her telling me this, and I was like, that's the most incredible thing. So since then, you know, I don't do it successfully. I will say this. I don't do it regularly. But I think it's really, really important to tell people, not just the woman in the bathroom, right, but people in your own life.
Right.
Why they're important,
yeah.
And why you love them, why you think they're so incredible.
Exactly. And that's another one of the joy charges, is to pick
right?
up the phone and
you can, it's
call
cheap.
Someone.
I mean, get a package of note cards and send a card
yeah.
just thanking them for, like, the difference they've made in your life. I mean, how incredible is that?
Yeah, it is. It uplifts you and them both.
Yeah. I remember recently hearing, I think it was Joel Osteen talking about this one day. He was talking about, you know, letting people know that. And I was really inspired. So I came back and I was like, well, who have I not said thank you to that I really need to say thank you to? And I would really like to, I feel inspired to, right? And I thought about my daughter's father, who is just this really great guy. He's, you know, we didn't make it well as being married together and all of that. And he's gotten married again. And, you know, we did a great job co-parenting our daughter as she grew up, even through the trauma that we went through and all of that, because that wasn't involving him, except that, of course, it was his daughter. But he's now gotten married again, and I really like his wife. And, you know, we spent Christmas together with our daughter when they bought their house, you know, a few years ago. And it was just really nice, you know, hanging out. And I thought, you know, I never told him how much I really appreciate him as her father. So I wrote him a note and included his wife, who I think is just really fabulous, because she and my daughter get along great, and she's, you know, she just, like, if to me, the more people who love your kids, the better off you are. And so why everybody gets all jealous and all of that, I don't. I think it's fabulous. You know, the more people who love my daughter, mm-hmm. and I'm all over that. You know, I think it's great. So I wrote them a note, and I just said, you know, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you as her father, how amazing you are, how great you've been through all these years, you know, and to his wife, how much I really appreciated her for, you know, and I loved the relationship that they were developing, et cetera, yada, yada. Anyway, I just sent it off, you know, it's like, and I forgot about it, right? And then he commented to my daughter that he'd gotten this great card from me that day, and, you know, it was just like, oh, that's right, I did send that, you know, like I'd forgotten about it. But to me, that's like one of those things that you can do that is so inexpensive. It doesn't cost anything. It's just a thank you, and it's a it's an acknowledgement of who that person is and how they are in your life. It's just like, why wouldn't we, right?
Right, really. But we don't.
Yeah, we don't.
You know?
We're busy. We forget. We think, you know, and yet when we do something like that, that's the thing that someone holds on to later on.
Exactly.
I really love that. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say another thing that it really got me through all of this, and it's kind of all a part of that same thing that you're talking about there, was, you know, I was in a lot of physical pain, and the times that I was like, I couldn't cope with it, I would just sit there and think about what I was grateful for. And that would actually shift the pain so that it made it easier to deal with. Because you can't be grateful and unhappy at the same time. It's just not possible. So once you're grateful, the gratitude is really love.
Okay, hold on. I'm thinking about when I'm triggered and I'm cranky and I'm in pain or whatever, I don't get in pain very much, thank you, God. But like if I have a headache or whatever, and that's nothing compared to what you went through. Oh, my God, that's nothing. You know, like a headache is nothing by comparison because they're not migraines or anything. They're just like, you know, tension headaches or too tired or dehydration or something. You know what I mean? Like I haven't taken care of myself or something. But when I'm like that, the last thing I'm thinking is, how can I be grateful? It's too far, you know? It's like, you know, it's like, wait, you know, like you're talking about something that is so far away from triggered and pain. How did you, like, cross that bridge?
Desperate.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
that's
desperate.
Huge. That's just so huge.
Yeah. You know, when you're in a lot of physical pain, and I talk to people like this who are, and the drugs aren't working. You know, there's only so much that the drugs can do without you becoming just sort of a vegetable and sitting around and drooling. the thing that you have to do is shift your whole vibration around that, and gratitude will do that.
And yeah, but how? Just, I mean, come on. It's just like, I mean, you're sitting there and, you know, mm-hmm. you just, I guess there's a point at which you make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dealing with right now, but this is not me forever, and I'm going to be grateful for what beautiful things there are. Is that what it is?
Right. You know, you can be look around you and be grateful for the chair that you're sitting in or the bed that you're lying in and the food that you ate that day. It's not just being grateful for, you know, the big things. It's being grateful for everything. I remember Joe Vitale has told this story many times, but he talks about, you know, he was, when he was a young man, he was actually homeless. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, living off the streets here in Dallas and had really nothing and no place to go and nothing to his name. And he went to the library and read all the time because a lot of the homeless people go to the library and it's a place to be. And, you know, he read a lot. And one day he sat down and he thought, okay, I don't have a lot to be grateful for, but I have this number 2 pencil that I can write with, and I'm going to be grateful for that pencil. And he talks about how he became grateful for the eraser and how it would let him correct mistakes and how he was grateful for the lead and each part of the pencil and the tree that sacrificed itself so it could become the pencil. You know, and it's just a different mode of thinking, and when you think in that mode of gratitude, you will shift what's going on with you. And it can be a very radical shift because there are things all around you to be grateful for. Be grateful for you know, the flooring in your house and the people that created that. Furniture, the people that created that, your car and the people that manufactured that. You know, you can just change everything by doing that.
And yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And it does take some practice. But when you're in a situation like I was in, where really you were just, I mean, when you can only think, oh my God, I'm in so much pain. How do I get out of this pain? That was the only thing I could do.
Yeah, I'm sure.
To distract myself from the pain. And that was the way to do it.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. Elizabeth wants to know if you have to work on it every single second when you're in pain. Does it become like a second nature and still, you know, and that then alleviates the pain?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I don't think you do have to work on it every single second. I think at some point it becomes easy to, and at some point it's just something that becomes natural. But I think, you know, once you do it for a while and you realize that the pain has actually lessened.
Yeah, because, okay, I totally get that. So then it becomes a practiced way of being. It's a habit.
Exactly.
It's the way you're thinking habitually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you stop resisting it. You stop resisting and you surrender to the experience, maybe not to being in that, you know, like there's a surrender that takes place. And I'm going to bring my own little life in here for a second because I'm thinking about this, you know, I've got two kitties who are chronically ill. One has feline herpes and she's like always, you know, having, you know, eye infections, ear infections, blood coming out of her nose, and just like, and she sneezes, and it's like, oh, I've got to go clean it up, and she's miserable, and, you know, so we've been working on trying to help her holistically, how to help her, you know, without going in for antibiotic shots every single, you know, month, which is expensive, and I think hard on her body. So it seems to be we're, you know, getting some help. So that's one. And then the other one has hyperthyroidism and irritable bowel disorder. So the irritable bowel disorder means that anytime she eats something, she ends up with diarrhea. And so, like, for the last year, I've been dealing with a kitty, you know, my little pixie kitty, who has diarrhea if she eats the wrong thing. And so we've been, you know, initially we started with medicines, and then we started with, you know, like, it's been a whole long journey. And we've started with now holistically, how do we help her? And we've got these great Chinese herbs that are fabulous that are helping her. And she's off the medicines and on the herbs. And now we're, you know, dealing with it with diet and that kind of thing. So it's helping. But I have to tell you, the amount of resistance that I've had about it and the upset and the, you know, like, the cleanup and the, all of that. And then there was this point at which I just surrendered to this experience and I began to think, this is a sacred journey. And I'm so grateful that she's here. And even if she's, you know, that this was a good day, we had a good day today. You know, it was not a bad day. It was a good day. You know what I mean? I didn't have, you know, seven different piles of diarrhea to clean up. I mean, that sounds like crazy, but you know, that's been my experience sometimes. And now we have puppy pads all over the house. I mean, it's like, you know. Anyway, the point is that there's a point at which I think you surrender to the experience that you're in. You stop fighting it.
Yeah.
There's something wrong here. And you start finding the beauty and the sacredness in the journey itself. Would you say that's true?
I'd say that's very true.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
So to me,
There was a point at which I realized that I was actually holding on to pain.
Interesting.
And, yeah, that I was actually doing it to myself. And there was a reason why I was doing it, because I felt like I had something that I had to sit down and I write about this whole experience, and I didn't feel like I could do that. if I let go of the pain. I didn't feel like it would have the same understanding or the same meaning, because we forget.
Wait. This is so deep, Donna. What you just said was so deep.
Right.
So think about what that looks like, holding on to the pain, like actually having pain, physically pain, or...
physically pain, yeah.
Okay. And so how did you, quote-unquote, let go of the pain? By choosing gratitude? By writing your book? I mean, I'm like, really intrigued here, because this is huge.
It is very huge, and a lot of people who suffer from chronic pain do this because they don't know what their life would be like without it.
Right, right.
At some point, you have been in it so long, you cannot envision life without it, and life without it is scary. Okay,
got it.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people do this, and they don't really realize they're doing it.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons why tapping can be so effective to work with chronic pain, because they're really ready to let it go, and they just can't let that last piece of it go.
Right.
But,
are you saying that last piece is the mindset piece about it? Like actually experiencing life without pain?
Yeah. It's the fear of what's life going to be like, because it's a change. It's a big adjustment.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Because you have to go back into life. You have to be responsible. You have to, like, make something of your life or whatever. I don't know, whatever the expectations are, right? So there's all that fear of, well, now I'm going to have to, and I don't know what that looks like, and what am I going to do? And at least this way it's been comfortable, and I know. And I'm not, believe me, I want to be very, very clear here. I'm not making anybody wrong or judging.
Right.
Their experience, because their experience is their own sacred journey through it, and they do it. They move through it at their own pace as they're ready, and I completely honor that. So I want to just be like,
we're
here.
That is absolutely true.
Okay.
You know, I arrived at that conclusion for myself at the point where I was ready to let it go, and I said, okay, wait, I've got something I've got to do with this yet. For a little longer, and then I was able to let it go.
Now, I want to equate that to my own journey with the emotional pain that I went through and the 2.5-year sort of dark night of the soul period, where I was doing a lot of different trainings. I was seeing different healers. I had an incredible healer I was working with on a regular basis. I created this garden. I learned, you know, to develop my intuition at that point, all of that stuff, but I hadn't let go of the anger, the grief, the judgment, the shame, all of that. And when I learned EFT, the tapping, I cleared it out like in one day, and it was so incredible. I was just like, you have got to be kidding. And I remember going to the healer that I had seen, and I was sharing with her this like, oh my God, this incredible tool, this tapping thing is so amazing. And she goes, oh, you must have been ready to let it go then. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that. It was definitely that it was the tapping. You know, like, to me, that she would say that was just so shocking. Like, what do you mean I was ready to let it go?
Yeah.
I think it was actually two things. I think, yes, I was ready to let it go, and I found a technique that actually helped me do that. that was very effective, you know, like a really sort of dramatic kind of, a before and after shot, emotional snapshot. So that's, I really get what you're saying with this. I think that I had that same experience emotionally, not physically, but emotionally.
Right. It's the same thing. It's all pain, but it's just a different kind.
Yes. That's really, really neat. Let me just take a second. Thank you, Elizabeth. Elizabeth sent me a little note here, and she, I want to take a second about this right now, because you're talking about tapping, I'm talking about tapping, and I want to just say, listen, anybody who's listening to this, I have this 4-week class called Tap Into Your Divine Business, where we are doing tapping on clearing out the feelings and the emotions that come up for you around building your business, around, frankly, having joy in your life, having joy in your business. Like, what is it that is in the way? We've been talking about money last week. This week we talked about clients. Next week we're going to talk about market. And the next week we're going to talk about offer. It's a really good class. We have like 600 people who've registered for it. And we've got a lot of great people in the Facebook group. To go and get it, it's complimentary. It's a free class, 4 weeks. Tap into your divine business and go to www.tapintoyourdivinebusiness.com and join us. And I think Donna's in there, so you can connect with her there too. Right, Donna? Mm-hmm. You're there? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, okay, so that's my little side thing for the Tap Into Your Divine Business. And let's get back for a minute to this juicy, juicy conversation about choosing joy, choosing gratitude. How mm-hmm. would you suggest to someone who is intrigued with this idea and they want to start being more grateful, like starting, you know, like it's sort of like flossing your teeth, right? It's a new habit for
yep.
people who, you know, don't, and then they start and their dentists say, you know, you need to floss your teeth, and like, oh, yeah, yeah. So they do it for 2 days and then they forget till the next time they go to the dentist. And then they decide they're going to do it. So
mm-hmm.
how would you say to someone, okay, you want to be grateful, you want to have gratitude, what would you suggest to them that they start doing? And I get the pencil idea, and I love the Joe Vitale thing. Most of us have a whole lot more than that, right?
Most
of us have, you know, a tree growing outside that we can be grateful for, or we have people in our lives that we can be grateful for. But, you know, when you're out in the car and you're driving around and somebody cuts you off and they, you know, honk at you, or they, you know, flip you the bird or whatever, where do you come from? Where do you access the gratitude in that moment? Do you know what I mean? How do you practice gratitude? Like, grateful they didn't hit you and run you off the road? You know, like, I mean, I will say that. I'll say, oh, thank you, guys, and I'm talking to my angels. Thank you for protecting my car. Thank you for protecting me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do? How do you practice gratitude in
those moments? Sometimes it gets tough. I'm pretty good most days now because I've been through this so much. But every now and then something will happen that will really trigger me. And it's kind of funny because, you know, whenever you feel yourself getting triggered like that, if you can just think, okay, just breathe for a minute here.
Right, right.
And just give yourself that moment before you react. You know, it eventually becomes a practice. But I'm not saying that you can, you know, step into this immediately. One of the things that I consider a joy charge is morning gratitude, and that is before you ever get out of the bed in the morning, as soon as you wake up, lay there and think about 5 things that you're grateful for. And you can't get out of bed until you've thought of those 5 things. If you've been practicing it for a while, it's going to take you 10 seconds. But I talk to people all the time who say, oh, well, I'm grateful for my family, and I'm grateful for my kids, and and beyond that, I don't have anything I'm grateful for. And, sometimes I just want to scream and say, okay, you're wearing clothes. Are you grateful for those? Well, yes. Did you have dinner last night? Yes. Were you grateful that you had food to eat? Yes. You know, and we just start on this journey where we start to point out all of the things in the world that they could be grateful for, but they're just not seeing because they're so busy.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah.
So what you're talking about is actually stepping back from your life and practicing a new way of thinking, a new way of being, a new way of actually looking at life itself. And by doing that, you end up with more joy, more peace, and more of what you want, frankly, because you start you start to see it, right?
Exactly.
So Elizabeth has this great question. She said, you know, what does gratitude start feeling a little contrived? And I think that's actually true because, you know, sometimes if I'm not feeling it, I'm grateful for the tree. Okay, I'm grateful for the, you know, whatever, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you give thanks for the just one finger gets trapped in the door, or for me, like last week, I got bit by a turtle. I was down at the lake and I was feeding them, and one mistook my, you know, the food, which was a little bit of bread, for my finger, or my finger for the food, and grabbed the whole, you know, oh, it hurt. Like, I can't even begin to tell you how much it hurt. You know, I still have a mark on my finger from that. And, you know, it was like, well, I didn't get my whole finger bit off, you know, and I was really grateful for that because he got my fingernail, right? And so he got the edge of my finger and my fingernail, and he, I guess, somehow realized, or I pulled away or something, you know, and he was like, oh, wait, that's not food. You know, like, I was grateful, but, like, damn, that hurt. You know what I mean? So where do you find the gratitude? I mean, I'm really grateful I can feed the turtles. I love them. I love them dearly. You know, I'm grateful for them. Like, in those moments, are you talking about just a more general way of being, not sort of in the moment when you're triggered and hurting kind of being? You're talking about just as, as an overall. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and when you're triggered and hurting, you know, sometimes it takes a while for you to see.
Right.
But almost everything that triggers you or hurts you, somehow there's a gift in that.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just hard to see it at that time. And
yes,
you may see it later.
Yeah. Well, and aren't you also talking about practicing seeing it later, not just going on about life? You know what I mean?
Yes. It's all part of the same thing.
Yeah.
To understand that the things that happen to us that we would judge as bad sometimes really aren't.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, you may think of it as bad. My whole experience was awful, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All of those surgeries, everything that happened to me, and I would not tell you today that any of that was bad. I would not tell you today that I regret going through any of it. I don't. It changed my life in a way that it would never have changed had that not happened to me.
Yeah.
And most people who survive cancer, if you talk to them, they will tell you that same thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have chosen it. I wouldn't wish it on anyone else. But what came out of it for me has made me a better person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say the same about my trauma, you know.
Yeah.
I would definitely say the same about that. I wouldn't have my life today. I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't be on this phone today if I hadn't gone through that. I wouldn't have the husband that I have. I wouldn't have the consciousness I have, the intuition. All of that is a direct result of what I went through, the work that I went through, the healing that I went through, that divine initiation. I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't be who I am today without it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, I'll tell you that. I mean, I wouldn't wish the experience, the transformation, but not the experience. But unfortunately, sometimes we can't do the transformation unless we do the initiation, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. So, okay. So you have something that is, you have a gift for our listeners?
Oh, sure. If they go out to my website, which is thejoychargelife.com, the very homepage has a download where you can actually download the introduction and the first couple of joy charges to the Joy Charge Life.
Nice, nice.
So that will give you a taste of what it's all about.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You can put those in practice for a couple of weeks and see what it's doing for you and see if it makes a difference for you.
So when you work with someone, you work with people on helping them understand better how to apply the joy charges in their own life.
I do.
Yeah.
I work also, you know, I do a lot of work with business people who, you know, when you are ready to hire a coach, you're really usually ready to change something.
Yeah.
And I find that a lot of the people that I talk to who come to me from business coaching have reached a point where there's no longer any joy in their business.
Aww.
And so have to work on revitalizing that and putting that back.
Okay, we have a few minutes. I want to hear about that because that's true for people. I do hear that. That's true. How do you get joy back in the business?
Yeah, it's kind of a different process for different people. It sort of depends on what caused them to lose their joy. But a lot of times the reason is that it's just, the business has just gotten overwhelming, right? Mm-hmm. They're not having the success that they think they need.
Yep.
They're not having, or they are having the success they think they need, and they're just overwhelmed, and they're too busy, and they're working all the time, and they no longer have a life.
Right.
It's usually one of those two things. And one of the things that I try to talk to people about is the judgments that they make of themselves.
Yep.
Because when we judge ourselves and say our business is not doing as well as we like, but a lot of times we do that because we're comparing ourselves to someone else.
Exactly. Comparison is deadly. I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one thing. And a lot of times when we are very successful and say the business is doing really well and we have more business than we know what to do with, then we really get burned out very quickly.
They're not practicing that kind of serious self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to take time for yourself and stop making the business your entire life.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. Your business supports your life, not the other way around. And so many entrepreneurs have it the other way around. They are scrambling to meet all the demands of their business because they love it. They really love it. And they've worked hard to get where they are. But they've lost something along the way, and that something is, you know, that balance, that sense of joy, that sense of fun. I 100% agree with this. This is
right.
True. Yep.
Yeah, because you need to know who you are without that business. At some point in your life, you're going to want to walk away from that business.
You know, I want to say, though, that for me, building my business has been so consuming. Like the first 5 years of building a business, I think, is just incredibly consuming. It's like raising a baby. It really is. You are just consumed with everything. You know, the first walk, the first, you know, you think about it, the first client, the first paying client, the first teleseminar, the first, you know, group of people, the first, you know, group that you do together. I mean, there's a lot of firsts that you have after you figure some things out and find your way, and then you find your flow. So those first 5 years can be incredibly energy and time consuming. And I, for one, have kind of dropped off a lot of my other things that I love to do. I've done things that I love to do that support me to make me be able to, you know, do my business. But in many ways, you know, I don't do scrapbooking right now. I'm not doing any singing right now. I'm way focused on my business. But that doesn't mean I don't have other joy in my life, because I do. I have a lot of joy. But it's just like I just don't have time for all the other. And I don't make for all the other, because I have other things I want to do. You know what I mean? So there's that can be a real challenge for an entrepreneur, because they are so focused on their business and their business growth, and their love is their business. I mean, it's their baby. So where do you go with that?
Well, let me tell you just a little short story here. I had an aunt who was a very good artist, and she had built a business around ceramics and art supplies and things like that. And she loved that business, and she worked at it for 40 years. And she never made a lot of money, but it was just everything that was her life. Her entire life was wrapped up in that business. And the last few years of her life, she went blind. And she no longer was able to work her business because she's an artist. Mm. She couldn't see to paint. Mm-hmm. She couldn't see to do much of anything. And the depression that settled over her, because there was like nothing else in her life.
Mm.
You know, she didn't live very much longer after that.
Yeah, sort
and
of like
the life that
work.
She had,
yeah,
but was very unhappy because she wanted everything to be the way it had always been.
Right, right, right.
So
that was the resistance.
At some point, you
got
need
it.
To plan for your life to be different and for your life to be more than just your business.
Yeah,
for
yeah. I get that. I think this is, again, going back to the tapping, this is where the tapping can help you shift out of the grief, out of the loss, into the possibility of what's available, what could you do. You know, again, the tapping to me has, you know, completely transformed everything. But I would also say, I agree with you, find other things that also make you happy along the way. You know, I've thought about
right.
that myself. Like, what if I did, you know, lose my eyesight or, you know, whatever? You know, what would I do? And
right.
my answer is, well, I'd figure it out. You know, that's not here in front of me right now, but I'd figure it out. And I do think that there's a part of me that there's an attitude that exists that says, I just figure things out. You know, I just figure things out. And
mm-hmm.
And though, like, I have put everything, my heart and soul, into my business, if it were gone, I'd go figure something else out. You know, I would just,
yeah.
I just would. And I think that's the underlying piece for me. That doesn't mean I wouldn't go through grief and loss, that's for sure. Because
mm-hmm.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Yeah,
okay.
But, you thought about it.
We're really close on time.
Some people never think about it.
Right. And we're real close.
Okay.
So let me just reiterate, your free offering is at thejoychargedlife.com, okay? Thejoychargedlife.com. You want to go, and this will be on the Blog Talk Radio Show page. You'll be able to see it. And if you want to join the Tap Into Your Divine Business class, it's tapintoyourdivinebusiness.com. All right. Nice deep breath. We want to say thank you for being here, everyone. For being here with us, for being here with us in person and also on the webcast, for listening later. Take this information and create more joy and more gratitude in your life and in your business. You are here to be doing that work, to be that joyful expression of the divine in this world with your sacred gifts. Take it, go do it, and share it. Go get your divine on, everyone. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
This episode of the Divinely Intuitive Business Show has been sponsored by the Divine Business Club, the only place where divine intuitives like you can get proven business building advice on how to get your sacred gifts out into the world and make the impact and the money that you want to make for less than $1 a day. For more information, go to www.divinebusinessclub.com.